This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The Justice Department has just released a very limited and heavily redacted transcript of the Orlando shooter's 911 calls. Even though Orlando police said in the aftermath of the shooting that Omar Mateen pledged allegiance to the Islamic State and other groups, Attorney General Loretta Lynch explained to reporters on Sunday talk shows that the names of specific groups he claimed to be acting for would be withheld to, quote, avoid re-victimizing those people that went through this horror. We do know that the FBI twice questioned Mateen to investigate suspicious statements that he made, but cleared him. It has now emerged that the federal law enforcement agency tried to lure him into incriminating himself in some sort of illegal plot, but that Mateen did not bite. My guest is Max Blumenthal, senior editor of the Gray Zone Project at Alternet and the award-winning author of Goliath and Republican Gomorrah. His most recent book is The 51-Day War, Ruin and Resistance in Gaza. Welcome to the program, Max.
Good to be on with you.
So first, let's talk about what it is that we now know, as you've mentioned, has been sort of revealed in, you know, a police description of what happened, that apparently the FBI, we know, questioned him, but also lured him or tried to lure him into a plot. But this is something that the FBI has been doing for years with lots of people in the Muslim community. As far as you know, what exactly was the FBI interaction with Omar Mateen?
Well, the question really is what we don't know, and why is the FBI and Orlando Police Department stonewalling, refusing to release information that should be in the public domain? What we have learned through Lucie County Sheriff Ken Mascara is that the FBI did send an informant to the courthouse where Omar Mateen was working as a guard for the private security company G4S to lure him into a terror plot. This was after Mateen had begun threatening a coworker, someone who had potentially, allegedly, discriminated against him or made anti-Muslim remarks to him and threatened that he would bring Al-Qaeda operatives to the courthouse to kill him, which was obviously empty bluster, but something that disturbed the coworker enough to alert law enforcement. The FBI sent an informant down, and the informant presented Mateen with an elaborate plot to commit an act of terror, meaning an act of massive violence, possibly planting a bomb or a shooting spree, and claiming allegiance to one of the major Islamic extremist factions. At that time, it probably would have been Al-Qaeda. Mateen didn't agree to the plot, and the FBI uses these frequently, actually in a majority of cases, often with mentally disturbed young Muslim men like Mateen to entrap them and send them away to prison for 25 years. What we don't know is the extent of Mateen's involvement with the FBI. And another key question that I raised in my article at Alternet is, how did the FBI's informant implanting in Mateen's mind a elaborate plot to commit mass political violence, how did that influence his deadly decision when he eventually did carry out such an act at the Pulse nightclub, supposedly claiming allegiance to ISIS in the middle of the massacre?
Right, that's a really good question. In fact, Mateen apparently, according to the FBI, pledged allegiance to multiple organizations, not just the Islamic State, the Al-Nusra Front, so groups that are warring with one another, as well as the Boston Marathon bombers, almost as though he was just sort of trying to tick off as many triggering names as he could to cast this issue, or this incident rather, into whatever lens authorities wanted him to. Although, of course, we can't really get into what he was going through, but it all seems to be this big swirling mess. If he really was being directed by ISIS, wouldn't he be a lot more focused and clear about who was directing him?
Right. I mean, he's claimed allegiance to ISIS. Supposedly, the FBI and now Attorney General Loretta Lynch refused to release the portion of his call to 911 during the massacre when he claims allegiance to ISIS, which raises additional questions about what he actually said and how law enforcement is attempting to shape an ISIS-centric narrative to further the so-called war on terror. But he's also claimed allegiance to Al-Qaeda, to Al-Nusra Front, which is allied with Al-Qaeda and which is fighting ISIS in many parts of Syria. He claimed allegiance, according to the FBI, to Hezbollah, which is the mortal enemy of both Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And as you said he was friends with the Boston bombers, which is completely false. So what you have here is someone who's clearly mentally disturbed. If you take a look at Omar Mateen's life, he actually seems to be a lot more like Travis Bickle, the protagonist of Martin Scorsese's film Taxi Driver, than he does Jihadi John, the ISIS executioner who made his way from the UK to Syria with hardcore ideological leanings. This is someone who had abused his wife, had fantasized about a career in law enforcement, but was rejected twice, was abusing steroids, and kind of attracted to the toxic macho male culture that you see both in police departments and in ISIS. This is someone who had repeated run-ins with law enforcement, who had repeated run-ins with his neighbors, had menaced people as a security guard, whose mother had faced charges of child abuse, whose father was a clearly erratic figure. And what you see is the portrait of the exact kind of person that the FBI has been targeting and preying upon since 9/11 to generate the specter or the illusion of a terrorist among us, a homegrown terror threat. They are preying upon mentally ill Muslim men. In one case, James Medina, a convict who had converted to Islam in prison in South Florida, not far from where Omar Mateen lived, was presented with a terror plot by the FBI. The FBI informant told James Medina to bomb a synagogue and claim ISIS. He apparently did not know what ISIS was, and then he agreed to it. He was arrested. He's now on trial, probably will go to jail for life, and the media has done nothing to investigate this case. Omar Mateen, the FBI informant, got a different result, and we don't know what it is, but we do know that this method of entrapping mentally ill Muslim men doesn't work to protect the general public. However, it does work to generate the specter of a homegrown terrorists and to frighten the public into submission.
I want to play an excerpt of an interview that Attorney General Loretta Lynch gave on CNN on Sunday, the day before these partially redacted transcripts of the 911 calls were released. Here is Loretta Lynch.
Yes, we are going to be releasing tomorrow more information about this investigation. It's been our goal to get as much information into the public domain as possible so people can understand, as we do, possibly what motivated this killer, what led him to this place, and also provide us with information. So tomorrow we will be releasing limited transcripts of the calls between the killer and the Orlando PD negotiators in the nightclub
that night.
And what will
the transcripts tell us?
They will talk about what he told law enforcement on the ground as the events were unfolding.
And what did he tell them?
You know, as we have said earlier, he talked about his pledges of allegiance to a terrorist group. He talked about his motivations for why he was claiming at that time he was committing this horrific act. He talked about American policy in some ways. The reason why we're going to limit these transcripts is to avoid re-victimizing those who went through this horror, but it will contain the substance of his conversations.
And that is Attorney General Loretta Lynch speaking on CNN on Sunday. Max, she talked there about the importance of releasing the transcripts so that the public could understand what was happening. Then she referred to it as the terrorist group that he pledged allegiance to, but that the reason why that information, the specifics of whom he pledged allegiance to would be withheld, was to avoid re-victimizing the people who went through this horror. But we were already told that he said Islamic State and Nusra Front and all these other groups. Does any of this make any sense? I mean, does Loretta Lynch think we're stupid?
Yes. And it's 2016. It's 2016. And in 2016, we need the audio. We need to see the full transcripts. And the public is entitled to this. What we need to start saying, without shame or fear of being called conspiracy theorists, is that this is a cover-up. They're covering something up. We don't know what it is. And I can speculate on what it is. But what I can tell you is that at the Gray Zone Project at Alternet, we filed a Freedom of Information request with the Orlando Police Department right away, seeking the audio of this call, because we suspected that law enforcement was trying to redirect the conversation away from Omar Mateen's personal psychological pathologies and focus in on ISIS, when we've already seen Congress roll back Obama's reforms to the Pentagon's 1033 program, where it gives military-grade weapons to the police in the wake of this Orlando killing, and we'll see many more, much more counter-terror overreach as a result of the manipulation of the narrative. So it's clear they're manipulating the narrative. They're refusing to tell the public what Omar Mateen really said, and it's likely because it will not highlight his allegiance to ISIS. It will probably reveal him as someone who's deeply pathological. The most interesting thing, however, is that the FBI read out details of the call to more, pliable reporters from the Daily Beast and other publications to generate hysteria about ISIS in the wake of this killing. And now they're saying that they won't reveal the portion of the audio or the transcripts where Mateen supposedly claims allegiance to ISIS out of respect for the families. So all of a sudden they've generated this respect for the families, and all of a sudden they don't want to talk about ISIS. But when the blood was still running down the halls of the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, the FBI and Orlando Police Department were eager to talk about ISIS. I find that deeply troubling.
Max, the other aspect of this that's also quite kind of troubling is that the police have admitted that it's very possible some of the 49 people who were killed that night were killed as a result of friendly fire. Now, it should be fairly easy to determine how many, if these all of the bodies were, you know, had autopsies done on them. You look at the bullets that were used. But of course, if they determined how many people, or that there were a certain number of the 49 that were actually killed by police fire, that too would detract from the narrative of the largest mass shooting in modern history, right?
Great question. I mean, at the Gray Zone Project at Alternet, we filed a Freedom of Information request with the Orlando Police Department seeking, and the Florida Medical Examiner, the medical examiner in charge of the autopsies, seeking first from the police department to know how many rounds its officers discharged in the course of their confrontation with Omar Mateen. Number two, with the medical examiner, we sought bullet wounds on the victims and the ballistics. We wanted to know how many wounds there were and how many wounds matched with the ballistics of Omar Mateen's Sig Sauer semi-automatic assault rifle. Because if there was a discrepancy between bullet wounds from Mateen's rifle and wounds from other rifles, specifically the kind of assault weapons that police SWAT, the heavily militarized SWAT teams carry in Orlando and elsewhere, then we can start to understand whether the police were responsible for the casualties. That is another issue, and another area where the Orlando police are stonewalling and refusing to answer questions. But we have to raise the question, do heavily militarized police forces and SWAT teams, we know that the Orlando police drove what amounts to an armored personnel carrier into the center of the club, a nightclub filled with people who are traumatized and still partially intoxicated, that they detonated a bathroom wall with high-powered explosives. Do militarized police departments actually increase the death toll in hostage standoff scenarios like the kind we saw in Orlando?
Well, Max Blumenthal, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Max Blumenthal is senior editor of the Gray Zone Project at Alternet and the award-winning author of Goliath and Republican Gomorrah. His most recent book is The 51-Day War, Ruin and Resistance in Gaza. And he's also written about the Orlando shooting on Alternet. We'll post a link to that article from our website, risingupwithsonali.com. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.